Blog Talk Radio.
Don't talk, just listen. First of all, I have to be honest with you, baby. I lied when I told you I never want to see you again. Can you?
Please stay, baby. Hey,
just for tonight, and maybe we can do something like make love, watch the sunrise. Oh, listen to JoJo, Casey, sing us a verse. What? That's the month to show you. Oh, you feel so sexy, so good.
You stay.
Of my head.
good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Tonight, is Let's Talk About It. We'll be doing date night differently. The dial-in number, if you're listening in online, is 319-527-6300. And by all means, when you get here, go ahead and press that 1. Or if you're already here and you haven't done so yet, please press 1. Tonight, before we get into tonight's topic, let's give a huge shout-out to our illustrious CEO, Arthur Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas. But not just because he's a CEO of Epiphany Radio. His company, Raw Links, also is tonight's sponsor. Why be average when you can be raw? Hit that brother up and get you some Raw Links, or just hit him up and say thank you for Epiphany Radio. Tonight's topic. When the two of you have decided, or one of you have decided, that the relationship is over, who leaves? But more specifically, what is the timetable? What is an acceptable timetable for the dwelling place, the abode, where you guys spent your time together? What is an acceptable time frame for the other party to leave? What's an acceptable time frame? I mean, for me, now see, I know some of you are thinking, well, man, that's a lot to think about, because there's a lot of factors that go into that, right? I agree. That's why I don't want you to consider the factors. We can discuss the factors. But I want in the inner you, that part of you that says, oh, we done? Oh, you got to be gone. So for me, 3 to 7 days is in an acceptable time frame, in my opinion. Because if you're making a decision that the relationship is done, then you probably have already planned your exit strategy, right? So, but we're going to get into all of that tonight, because, but 3 to 7 days, that's plenty of time, because you already know where you're going at that point, as far as I'm concerned. You know, if it was me and I was the one leaving, yeah, I'm going to try and be gone out of there within a few days. Ain't no need of me sitting there tormenting and sticking around. You know, somebody told me today, they were like, 6 months. I said, in 6 months, y'all know y'all could be going to the altar in 6 months? Y'all be back together in 6 months? Nah, that's too much time to be stuck with somebody that you don't want to be with in the same space. That's too much time. I'm sorry, I'm not built that way. I just don't have that in me. But I'm curious to see what y'all got to say. I'm curious. But let me go ahead and do my piece. Hold on. Let me make sure I'm not interrupted. Let me put my phone on silence. Do not disturb. Y'all know how it is. You know how it is. All right. My piece is called Portrait of a Beast. She says she's an artist and she wants to paint my emotions on the canvas, so welcome to the Portrait of a Beast, where you will see the truest hearts of my pain, but at least you will see it through the eyes of her words, in a world where words have more meaning when combined with actions. And no matter how much my fangs drip with blood and the beast incarnate radiating inside my chest rips apart factions that try to isolate my emotions like some kind of mutant gene, I have no healing factor for the human eye to be seen. All I have is the residue of pain that has been left behind for me to fend for myself, while all the pictures on the shelf has been destroyed and the fables and fantasies have met their match, and I'm no mythical creature. My pain has no cure in today's realities. All I have is to be shown my infractions through someone else's eyes. But all the who, what, where's, and why's doesn't explain how this beauty is wanting to portray the beast. Show the beast side of me before all the trauma, all the lies, the hurt that had a feast on my heart, my emotions. I just can't shed this shell of hurt.
but the canvas is ready to receive. Hopefully, I can get a reprieve. And that's that piece. Now, if y'all enjoyed that. But I want to hear what y'all got to say about this topic. I mean, what do y'all think? It's okay? We can talk about it? Y'all sure we can talk about it? All right. Let's see who we got on the mic first. Ladies and gentlemen, first on the mic tonight, we've got one half of the Erotic Love Zone and the Poetic Therapy host. Ladies and gentlemen, she is La Pearl La Negra. Hey, Danielle.
Hey, Ben. I just laid the baby down. Boy, he cut the fool. I guess he caught himself dancing to the music you was playing.
That's what he was doing. Go ahead, little dude. I'm not mad. Get it in, son. Get it in.
He was doing this little bouncing thing. I put him on the arm of the chair, just to rest the top part of his body. He kept bouncing. I said, you dancing? He kind of looked at me and gave me this smirk. I said, boy, let me find out you really understand what I'm saying. Yeah.
So. I know that's right.
Yo, that was a deep piece. Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm good. Got me in my feels about that music, but it's all good. I'm good.
I mean, we're talking about breakup, right? We're talking about breakup. So, you know, we couldn't have all of that romantic type music, and we're talking about, you know, breaking up and stuff. Come on now. We can't have all that now.
So I listened to them songs when I was in my breakup state. I was trying to heal and... They bring it. I ain't going to get into it. Nice music.
Yeah, here, Charlie Negro. Nice music. Just nice music, okay? Just nice music. All right? Yeah. All right. It's nice. All right. All right. So, thank you for that. So, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
What's an acceptable time frame?
Okay.
For the other person to be gone, what is that acceptable time frame for you?
For the other person to be gone?
Either you or the other person.
All right. Well, as far as I go, okay, I'm gonna put myself in position first. It's not my place. Okay, say I moved in with them. Before I made that move, I already made sure I had my own skills back to just in case. Because you never know how things are going to go. So with me, if we were to break up, I would leave right away. There's no need in me staying around, trying to have a conversation or get that bullshit word closure, because if it's been a breakup, more than likely it was a because I hate so much, and I've probably exploded on them, so I would leave right away. That day, I'm out. If it's not that day, it's that morning. I'm getting out the very next morning because I'm just taking the time to pack my shit and leave. Now, for them, because I don't have the time of work that I have, I don't want to see anybody on the street, so I would give them time to get themselves together. I'll be giving them a couple of weeks. And that's it. But you're not going to have people. That's it. You haven't gotten yourself together and found a communication to lay your head and you get yourself on one of your boards or something. I know you need to be sitting around my face making me feel a certain kind of way. It's manipulation when they stick around.
Right. So you said you're probably gone. You said the next day?
Yeah, that day.
That day. She said that day. Ladies and gentlemen, see proof that you already have an exit strategy if you're the one leaving a relationship or vice versa. You have an exit strategy. There's always a plan.
Don't you
always a plan.
That have something to fall back on just in case.
Baby, pause. Let's pause. Because you sound so muffled. Your sound quality is really bad right now.
Really? What about now? Can you hear me now?
Perfect.
Okay. So what, I mean, don't you, me, I always believe that you should have something to fall back on. That way you don't fall so hard that you got to really, really struggle to get up. So, you know, a breakup is heartbreak. It's changes. So I, you know, you should have a backup plan. You should have a financial strategy. You should have a place to dwell strategy. You should always have a backup plan. Okay? Because it's bad enough that you're going to break up with this person that's in your heart. Now you got to, you got to find your way through, and you're like, damn, I don't like asking people for anything. I'm just prideful like that. I can't help it. It's from experiences in life. So I want to make sure I have somewhere else to go to get away from that person, and that's just my strategy in life. So I don't have to go asking for help. Now, if I'm desperate, you know, but – I believe that everybody should have an exit strategy. It's not that you plan it for it to happen. You want it to happen, but just in case. Because you don't know how things are going to go in life. You know, breakups happen. Shit happens.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
We take losses. Okay. We have to protect. My mom always said, protect your assets.
I can feel that. I can feel that. I mean, you know, again, there are a lot of factors involved. However, that part of you that just be like, what? Oh, I'll be gone today. Today,
mm-hmm.
I'm gone today. Don't worry about it. I'm gone. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't worry your pretty little head. You ain't got to put up with me no more. I won't even be here for you to even think about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I could dig it.
Now listen. More than likely, if I have decided to jet like that, it's been a long time coming. It's been a build up. You don't just have one or two arguments with your mate and be like, fuck it, it's over. Excuse me.
Right.
You know,
right.
This has been going on. This is like a domino effect. Things have been building and building and falling down to where you just can't work it out anymore. And I got
right.
to go. I can't stick around because it manipulates me to be around the person that I love, and we are just done. That's it. Because the love don't die just because the relationship does. So I got to go. I don't want to be around you. I don't want to see you. I really don't want to talk. I don't want to hear your voice so I can fall back in. Hell no, I don't trust myself around the person I love. No, because we might wind up trying to get closure under some clothes. Nah.
All right. All right. Well, I appreciate you for bearing your soul in this manner tonight. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, would you be so kind as to give us what you brought for us tonight?
I will. Now, I'm sorry. I didn't write nothing new. What I started writing, it ain't finished, so y'all can't have it. But I'll give you what I have, something else I wrote. All right?
The mic is yours.
Thank you. So this is called Her Regret. I thought there was time left to mend it, so I made that effort to look one last time. But when I turned and reached for the hourglass, all the sand had fallen to the bottom already, and it just shattered at my hand's touch trying to turn it over, killing all hope we could start over. Now my heart is just like that broken hourglass, left in tiny broken pieces. Only I can't remove the slivers of pain from my hands because they're too deep inside my core. When we were done this time, I was so sure. I told myself I'd run out of time. But truth is, I just ran too far from the gift I was being given. Because I'd become unsure if we was good for me. creating more than a crack in our relationship, this is beyond repair. Making me sorry my heart and soul gave up, because you can't get back time once it's gone. Now the we is just a gentle whisper of a thought, carried away on the wind. And like the leaves falling in fall to the ground, all I can do through my regret is look and reminisce on what was supposed to be appreciation of his learning the realness of love. It is said, do not have regrets, just learn lessons. Well, my lesson in this, I'm still learning not to run. And though I will never speak of my love lost, perhaps to those who can see thoughts and emotions through brightened skies and open eyes, this dreary, depressing blue story behind my eyes will teach. And that's that piece.
Ooh-wee. I like this piece, La Perla Negra.
Thank you.
Is this a recent piece that you've written?
Not very recent. I actually tweaked it a little bit. I did do it this year, but not like recent. But I wrote it this year sometime, which, yeah, I don't remember what.
Got you. All right, I could dig it. Great piece. I love it. I'm not sure if I've heard this piece.
Once.
If I have, then some of the tweaks that you made to it made it more appealing, because I'm trying to remember it, and I don't. But thank you. Thank you for sharing this dynamic, exquisite gem.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Thank you. That's what's up. Thank you.
All right,
I got to thank you for pushing my pen. The lines that you are putting out there from pieces that you're writing, I'm on my tablet like, yo, yeah.
It's my pleasure. I have to admit, though, the most recent one, mm-hmm. I'm not sure how everyone – I want to see the read from it, because – I don't believe that everyone is taking it the way that I mean it. So I'm curious to see how you guys are going to write to it. I know how I'm going to write to it, but I want to see you guys' write.
Okay. I saw it earlier. I think it was the most recent one. Looking in her eyes.
I said, when the weight of the world is on my shoulders,
mm-hmm.
I look, the key here is I look down into her beautiful brown eyes.
Okay.
And see the pleasure, see the pleasure of her smile, or something like that,
wow,
to that effect. But there's a key.
You can do a whole lot with that.
Gave you a key. So, I want to see what y'all do with it. So.
Okay. Wow.
Now.
Yeah.
Now, before I send you. Hey, look, y'all not going to start this week. Y'all not going to start this week. No, we're not. Before I send you over to the security team in the VIP lounge, can you please let everybody know what you got going on?
I sure can. I wonder, should I start with Monday, because this is a little surprise, or should I leave Monday out of it, or should I throw it in there?
It's up to you, darling.
All right, well, I believe
Actually, no,
Monday,
no,
you, no,
you
okay.
Know what? You know what?
What?
Nah, go ahead and announce it. It's fine, because it's Saturday. Yeah, go ahead and announce it. It's fine. Go ahead. You're good.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Monday, I believe the Neo Soul Cafe is coming back, and I am one-third host of the Neo Soul Cafe, where I will be co-hosting with Epiphany's own CEO, Arthur Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real the Poet Douglas, and Poetic. And that will be Monday night at 9. Y'all come on by, because if it's anything like it was before, you are going to have a ball. We will have that second that segment of the second half of the show called Pick Up Your Pen, and that definitely helps you tap into your creative side, kind of pushes your pen, okay? I ain't going to give y'all no more. Y'all just come on by Monday night, okay? Now, Wednesday night, oh, child, I am one half host of the Erotic Love Zone, and I am continuing with my sex games for the week. And this Wednesday night will be dedicated to what I call Freaky Friday. Now, this one is nothing specific, but I want you to be creative with your sensuality, your sexuality, okay, your eroticism. Bring me some kind of game that you like to play with your mate. Make it delicious, okay? Make us salivate. And Saturday night, alternating Saturday nights with Poetic, I am the host of Poetic Therapy. And that's a place where you can come and release some mental stress with some open mic poetry and some healthy conversation. Back to you, Poetic.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Ladies and gentlemen, on her way to the VIP lounge to get some of this Tibetan imported champagne.
Oh, Tibetan?
Y'all better stop now. Stop it now. I got y'all the champagne y'all wanted. Now I'm sending you the diva.
I'm telling the fellas.
Going over there to the lounge. To the lounge, please. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is La Perla Negra. You heard her. Check her out. Yes. A one-night appearance of the Soul Cafe, La Perla Negra, Arthur Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real the Poet Douglas, and yours truly, Monday night. Catch her Wednesday night in the Erotic Love Zone, and next Saturday for Poetic Therapy. Whew, man, she's busy. She's definitely busy. Next up on the mic, we got my East Coast go-go brother, Mr. Automatic Charismatic. What's good, bro?
Everything is going fine, man. Just out here doing some writing. My book. Wrote the rough draft, and I'm trying to, that's all I'm doing.
I love it, man. I love it. Well, welcome, man. Welcome to Let's Talk About It, man. The topic that we working with tonight, bro. You and your girl, y'all live together, but y'all decide y'all gonna break up. So the abode, the dwelling place, it's no longer a safe haven. And one of you has got to leave, or one of you will be leaving. What in your mind, for you, what is an acceptable time frame to do that?
Well, it's kind of wow, because my girl's on the line, but she's just being quiet. oh, my God. Now my girl's listening. She's in mutant.
It's all right, bro. It's all right.
It's important.
It's all right. But,
here's what I think. Here's how I feel. When you have nothing to fight for, it's a difference between fighting with and fighting for. You have nothing to fight for. Because all relationships, there's going to be tough. You're going to have good times and tough times. You know? So once I have exacerbated all my time and seeing if this thing can work, what we're going through, and sometimes it takes time. I think it depends on if we agree that we're going to try to work it out, then And, you know, we're on a way to breaking up. You know what I mean? But we decide, okay, we're not going to break up. So it's, to me, it's like it depends on, I mean, how much do we have to try to stay together? You know,
bruh,
but if it, once it's finished,
right?
And
we already there. We are already there. It's finished.
Yeah. The Undertaker. we walk away in peace. We walk away. We just say, hey, you know, I care about you. You go your way, I go my way. Walk away in peace.
So what's the time frame, bro? What's the time frame?
Probably.
Who got to leave? What's the time frame? For you, what's the time frame? I know you're trying to be diplomatic, but what's the time frame?
I know. Probably 2 days, that day.
Is it? Ooh, you cutthroat. You kind of like me, that day. Ooh, okay. All right. Y'all heard Mr. Man. He said
I
that
mean,
day.
It,
go.
You know,
see you later.
Yeah, it depends. Yeah, but you know, if it depends on the sorority, like I said, it depends on the that come. I mean, it depends on what we're breaking up for. Like it depends on a lot of things. But if it's too severe, if it's that can't be repaired, yes.
One day, my
if
man.
It's too severe. If it's too severe. that depends. If it's too severe. You
not
know,
too many,
if it's something,
not too many breakups end amicably. I mean, you have a few. That number is very light, but I get what you're
just
saying.
Said
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you said that we already reached there. That it's not going to.
Yeah,
work
we already
out.
There. We
I,
already there.
So first, before I try to, before I even break up, I'll see if we can work it out.
Yeah, but ain't no.
But ain't
out,
no
ain't
point
no
in staying if
it's,
we can't work
it's done.
It out.
It's done. Yeah, it's done. I appreciate that, bro. Thank you for bringing your insight.
I think here's the thing. It's not good for her. For her to waste her time, it's not good for me to waste her time. I'm not a selfish person. I want her to be happy, even if we end up break it up.
Oh, so you had those questions. You had those, look here, baby, it's not you, it's me. I don't feel like I can make you happy. I want you to be happy. So I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna leave today. I'm gonna leave today so that you can live on.
God.
You know, you can. That's you, bro. That's you,
oh my
bro.
God. Yeah, I mean, you know, I never, you know, my relationships have broke up. I mean, you know, when I was with my ex, I never really broke up with her, but it just that I just stopped seeing her. Circumstances kept us apart.
Yeah,
it was like, but now I got a new, you know, like Joey Wally.
Yeah.
Joey Wally,
yeah.
A new love.
But y'all heard Mr. Automatic. You know, he said it'd be look, baby, listen, baby. I know but baby, listen. I know you're not happy. You know, it's me. I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna leave today.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, bro. That's what I'm talking about, man.
Once everything be activated. That's it. I mean, you know, you can try. I believe in trying first. And then once you reach that, you know, that breaking point, then, you know, is what it is.
All right, my brother. Now that we've gotten through that, thank you for being transparent with us tonight. What would you like to share with us tonight?
Oh, you know, I brought my mind. So
well,
because I brought my mind. Oh, wow, this would be a great topic to talk about.
The mic is yours, bro.
She came to me. It's the name of it. She gave me a name. She came to me. She was there crying out to me because a man, a coward, is beating on her. Her tears fell down like the raindrops, and it seems like the pain would not stop. He was such a coward, blacking her eyes. Everything that terror was on the rise, he made her life like a living hell. Gave me another story to tell. She came to me because I'm happiness to her. Because I know how to treat a woman. Because I know how to get her to smile. While he treated her like she was nothing left of a human, causing confusion. She came to me. You see, she had nightmares of him, of that kind of stupidity. All that came like it's unity tells me stories. She tells me everything because we're best friends. Love gave us a chance. We've been the best of the best, but you ain't gonna hurt mine. And if that fool were to come, his life would decline because I don't care and I'm not playing. If you ain't heard me yet, click, clack, you know what I'm saying. I'm not here to make peace. So your distance you need to increase. She came to me. He thought that he can beat her up. He thought that she would be his slave. He thought that he could cuss her out and make her feel less. Calls her all kinds of names, call her out her name. But the click-clack, once in the air. Now, buddy, you ain't got this message by now. That next round may just be on you. Miss Automatic, Charismatic, the Lyrical Engine, take it as in, I'm all in, Viper and Drive.
My go-go brother. Hey, man, I dig this, man.
Great, great freestyle, bro. I like what you did with it. You know, domestic violence is real, bro. And you highlighted that in your piece.
Yeah.
I appreciate you for that.
I think that that's for all the brothers who protect their queen at any cost. And for a woman to protect her king at any cost. Sometimes you got to, I mean, at any cost. You know, that's how it should be. You know, you ain't going to allow somebody who she may have been with that try to make a living hell. No, it can't come around her because I'm not me. I'm a type of person. No, it's not going to happen. And I ain't saying I'm the biggest, baddest person out here, but if somebody try me, you know, the kindest, I would say this, it's the kindest people that you need to watch out for. The ones that say that they'll pop somebody in the face, you already know what they'll do. But the kind people, they will be the ones to surprise you in the end because you never thought that they had it in them.
I know that's right, bro. You did that, man. But that's how we got to look at things, man. That's how we got to look at things. But you're on point, man. You're definitely on point. But yeah. My go-go brother, I got to get you over to that VIP lounge so you can get some of this.
All right, man.
Champagne.
Oh, I got to holler at you. Now, I saw you had something on Clubhouse, brother. Yeah,
I do.
You know me. I pay attention. So
I do.
Tell the world.
I mean, it's out there for everybody to see. My whole picture, both my picture profiles, talk about it. I've been talking about it. But yeah, man, join me tomorrow night at Clubhouse, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm being featured on Jess J's Small House of Poetry. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. So make sure y'all tune in if you can, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ain't no football games on, y'all, so I know y'all could be there. I know y'all could be there. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to say, just say this. From one poet to another poet, man, I admire you, not just as a poet, but as a person. You know what I'm saying? So I'm happy.
Appreciate that,
all
bro.
Your accolades and everything. Real talk, like, I'm happy for you, man. I'm happy that you getting all this, man, because you've been there for me, man. When I need somebody to talk to, you always there. You know what I'm saying? So I salute
everybody
you.
Everybody should have somebody to talk
personally.
To, man. It's, you know.
Yeah. I personally salute you.
Absolutely, brother. You know I'm there for you, man. You know, we change the world one person at a time, man. And if I could be a catalyst for change, man, I'm going to do it. So I'm looking forward to it, man. And I appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate you too, brother.
All right, my brother, get on over there, man, that VIP lounge. Make sure you get your lady a glass of that champagne, man. The way Danielle's sipping it,
yeah.
Man, it's got my mouth watering over here, the way she's sipping it.
I'm going to go ahead. Yeah, yes, indeed.
All right, my
good
brother.
You know,
one
I got to
share
someone with my woman.
You got to, all man. Right. You got to. Got a whole bottle over there for you, man. A whole bottle.
All right, then.
All right, my brother. Right, ladies and gentlemen. One love, one mic, Mr. Automatic, Charismatic, my East Coast go-go brother coming through here doing this thing. Whew, man. I'm about to talk to him, man. I'm about to talk to him behind the scenes, man. He going to stop telling people business in his freestyle. Stop telling people business, bro. Nah, but let's keep this party going, man. Next up on the mic, we have one half host of King and Queen's Quarters. Ladies and gentlemen, we got Zwina, a.k.a. Queen Simmons. Welcome to Let's Talk About It. How you doing?
Hey, Van. I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Doing pretty good. I can hear you just fine. You
okay.
Doing all right?
Yes, I am. I'm enjoying this conversation tonight. This is interesting.
Yeah, I figure we go off the cuff a little bit. We try a little something different tonight. I'm glad you're enjoying it, but now it's your time to express yourself. So, Queen Simmons, if I may, baby, sit down. Let's have a conversation. Sit down, please. This is not going to be easy. This is not going to be easy for me. You know, we've gone through our ups and downs. We tried to make it work, but baby, it's not working. You're not happy. I'm not happy. I think it's best if we just dissolve this relationship and work on just being friends. Which one of us leaving and how soon?
Huh. In that exact scenario, I would think the person who decides to leave would be the one that has to walk away. Because honestly,
okay.
hearts rarely ever break even. And being on the other end of that scenario was like when a person doesn't want to walk away, it's kind of when that person doesn't want to leave even after you tell them, like, it's done. I've tried all that I can, and I've just had enough, and I want this to be over. That's typically when that person wants to try. So it's rarely ever that person wants to walk away as amicably as the person who's sitting down and being mature enough to say, you know what, I've processed this, I'm ready to let this go, and I'm ready to walk away. I feel like at some point, that person who's been that mature and has processed it that well will probably end up being the one that's being mature enough to say, let me just, you know, put my stuff in a bag and get on up out of here because this isn't working. That's what I'm noticing.
Hold on.
The other person doesn't want to walk away.
Wait, y'all. Y'all hear this? Wait. She said the other person put their stuff in a bag. Like, you only can take your clothes. You can't take nothing.
Listen, you can call the truck, but you can call Tyrone. You can do what you want to do. Butter up. You can have as much time. In my opinion, you can have enough time. I think you should give a person enough time to get their affairs in order if you feel that serious. But it's my experience that that person, once you have that conversation, you really have to be ready to be like, you know what, I'm ready to walk away. I'll wash my hands of this, because anything less than that, that person thinks they have the opportunity to be like, oh, this, I don't know why people think this way, but they wait until you get to that point where you're like, I'm done. I can't take it anymore. I've tried everything that I possibly can. I've tried to process the trauma of trying to be in your corner for so long that I've kind of, you know, they say that about women a lot. I'm not sure if it's the same for men. I can't speak on behalf of men, but that women a lot of times they'll completely go through all of the stages of grief while being in your presence, not actually knowing it. You know, you think you're processing it, you think you're trying to get over it, but in all actuality, you're going through the stages of grief and you're processing it. And to the point when you're actually audible about it, you're already done. It's like a ball that, you know, it's no longer getting that pressure to get it to bounce anymore. So it just kind of rolls off, and that's where a lot of women end up when they get to that point where they're having that conversation. Men, on the other hand, in my experience, they think that's the point to start.
They think that's the point to start. But if a man comes the way that I have came, that man already got his bed prepared at somebody else's house. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. But that's what ends up happening. That's where they're going. That's why they can say, well, go ahead and I'm going to leave today. Because you already done made your place someplace else. And the signs will be there. You know, the distance. He seems distant. He's not talking. He's really not paying attention. The compliments for you get less and less and less. I know some of the fellas are going to hit me up with my inbox. Why are you giving away man code, bro? Hey, man, listen. Screw man code when you're messing with somebody's heart. Screw man code.
Right.
But that's a deep perspective. You know, but I'm still tripping on the whole bag thing. But you said something. Man, listen. Can I just tell y'all I love y'all. I love y'all because y'all are walking, living, breathing poetry. And you don't know that sometimes the words that you say are so poetic. Like, y'all, listen, this is going to be in my next poem, so I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind. Because you said hearts rarely break even. That is so freaking dope. I'm going to use that. I wrote that down so fast as soon after you said it, because I don't want to forget that. But you are so right. You're so right. It's all right. Your perspective is right, you know. And I get it. We want to give people the time. We want to be like, you can go ahead and have a little bit of time, you know. But like one of my friends told me earlier today, she was like 6 months. I said, 6 months? What? I said, ma'am, I ain't giving nobody 6 months. I'm sorry. You want to leave? Oh, can you be out in a week? I'll give you a week.
Okay.
But I'm not giving you 6 months. Ain't no way. Because in six months' time, y'all can be the mended that thing out. Y'all still, man, listen, ain't no way I can spend six months in a house with somebody that I done been with intimately and act like it never happened. I can't do that.
Yeah. See, that was my question that I had for you. Like, you know, a lot of times, you know, like if a person does something that's like a serious infraction, something that, like cheating, for example, a lot of times, if you love that person, you're going to try to, you know, maybe it's not love. Maybe it is codependency or some other trauma bond that we don't want to, you know, go into. But a lot of times, we'll try past that. But then you never realize that slowly but surely your feelings are dying. So by the time you get to that point, it's kind of like a serious conversation, but the person who did it is often like, oh, she, it was something that I read earlier. It was like a lot of times, well, it's a man versus woman thing, but they were like, a woman is, every time she forgives you, she respects or loves you a little bit less, but every time you forgive him, a man respects or loves you a little bit more. And I think that's a little bit off basis, definitely off basis a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I feel
Yeah, that's off basis.
But,
I don't know who came up with that.
Right.
Because, man, listen.
So do you love, can you love a woman and actually cheat on her? If you cheat on a person, do you still love them? Is that possible?
I believe you can. I do believe you can. And here's why I say that, because love is more than just a physical aspect, right? There are certain levels to love. Now I question the I'm in love with you, right? But I can love you.
Yeah.
I can love you.
Right.
But whether I'm in love with you, if I was in love with you like I'm supposed to be, then there's no way I should be in someone else's bed. There's just no way. The only time that I will end up in somebody else's bed, or a man ends up in somebody else's bed, is if there has been room left for another woman to show that man that she can be in love with him, or so much in tune with him that he's not getting from the other person. That's not a good excuse, but that's ultimately what ends up happening from a man's perspective and from a woman's perspective most of the time as well. So, but I would certainly question the in love. I am in love with you.
Yeah.
Because I kind of find it hard to believe for you to be in love with me and still cheat on me. Because I promise you, neither one of my marriages were the same after that. No matter how much I tried to make them, no matter how much I tried to make it work, they were never the same. Never the same.
That's true.
So
if a man was to tell you, I can sleep with 100 women and it would mean nothing because of their history.
I would believe him.
Do you still respect that person? You would believe him? Do you think that is something that you can...
Absolutely.
But do you think that it is something that a person can process enough to still be able to be here, like eye to eye? Like I'm putting all of my energy into a relationship with you when you're telling me that you can so precariously get part of yourself away in this bond where I'm giving everything to our connection and you're expecting everything from our connection, but you tell me in a marriage that I can sleep with 100 women and they mean nothing. That's what do you do with that information?
Whoa! You didn't say in a marriage. You didn't say in a marriage. You didn't say in a marriage. Because in a marriage, if as a man in marriage, I should only be focused on you and only you, right? That's just it.
Yeah.
However, we're not blind. We're human. We carry around this flesh. There are beautiful and attractive women that exist in the world every day, and as well as there are men for women. It's about self-control and keeping your perspective together, right? So as a married man, you should never want to just broadcast, man, I can sleep with this many women, blah, 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 and not mean it. No, you should not do that. You should not do that.
Right.
Because if I'm saying this to you as your husband, as a husband and my faithfulness to you, that credibility is shot the moment after you make that statement. You now put everything that you have said under a microscope. Oh, so this means since it doesn't matter to you, it doesn't matter for you, then you think it's okay.
Right.
So that means that when you was here on May 7th at 7:00 p.m., you weren't home, so you was with somebody else. Whoa, babe, where you get that from? Oh, you said that it doesn't matter to you.
But you know what? There's a point after that. There's a point after going through all of that where you're really harassing yourself, wondering what this person is doing, to the point where you like,
enjoy your life.
I'm good. I'll find my peace elsewhere. And now you're looking for that safe haven that you used to find in me that is no longer there while you're running out here with loosey goosey in them.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's no longer there. It's done. Bro, it's finished.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know,
we have a fundamental difference of opinion at that point. Fundamentally, we don't believe in the same things. And that's not something that I should have to fight for.
Right. And you know what? And here's the thing about counseling.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this, and I want y'all to hear me good. Here's the thing about counseling. Counseling will only work if you want it to work.
Right.
Hear what I said. Counseling will only work if you want it to work. If you go into a counseling session with the mindset that this ain't for me, I don't even know why we're here, then you might as well not even go. You might as well go ahead and sign the divorce papers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, if you go into a counseling session with the mindset, of I can't believe we are here, I would do anything for us to get back to where we were. And I'm not saying being back to where you were is essentially a good thing, because where you were got you to where you are now. So it should be to a better place than you were before.
But the question is, do I owe you the gift of forgiveness? And that's going to determine how much time you have to get out of my sight. The way that things rounded out, do I owe you the benefit of forgiving you enough to be like, all right, take your time, get yourself together, make sure that all your ducks in a row, or do I just need your stuff to be out of my, you need to be out of my space, and I'm going to call my brother, because if I have to call my brother, take
oh, it's over. But let me tell you, let me tell you something about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not for the benefit of the other person. Forgiveness is for you. Meaning, the moment that you forgive someone, that weight is lifted off your shoulder. You have now placed the guilt, the burden of guilt, back onto them, because now they have to struggle with forgiving themselves for the act that they did, for the deed. So I will tell anyone that, yes, you should forgive. And when you forgive... Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, maybe that wasn't a good choice of words. But I mean, do I owe you the benefit of giving you another chance?
Ah, there we go.
Realize the error.
I was just getting ready to say.
I absolutely agree that forgiveness is for you and not that person. But I feel like once you come into that point that we're talking about and you're rounding out your feelings and you're like, all right, this is not what I want. This is a misalignment. Right. We're going to have to, like, be like, okay. But, do you owe that person the benefit of trying again if they are earnestly trying to do the right thing at that point?
That would all depend on a number of things. Quite honestly, you would have to – the other person would have to they would have to be sincere – and want to repent for whatever they have done. Meaning, because I actually had to do this with my first wife. She and I had an issue of communication most of the time, and time and commitments, and so one of the things that she needed from me was, if I'm going to say I'm going to do something, to make sure that I follow through. And that was, now, after that's been communicated to me, and if I don't do it, then she has every right to feel how she feels, because I didn't do my part and follow through with what I had committed to, what I said I was going to do. So in that person who you're trying to decide if they deserve a second chance, that person deserves a second chance based on conditions. Like, how do I know that this time you're going to follow through with your words, follow through with your actions, make your words and your actions match, right? What safeguards do I have, right? So, and you would have to sit down with yourself and come up with a list of those things that you require to move forward, if you're going to move forward. And if those list of things that are a requirement are too much for that person, then you already have your answer.
There you go. All right. Well, I'm going to get up off this couch, because that's not even where I was supposed to be. I done laid back and got comfortable. I am very sorry, ladies and gentlemen in the queue. I got too comfortable in here.
Quite all right. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, thank you for the dialogue. I appreciate it.
You're most welcome. But
what piece would you like to lay on us tonight?
All right. I got a piece that I was tweaking around with. I'm going to bring it to you.
All right. The mic is yours.
Okay. All right. something had changed. I know everything does and nothing stays the same, but at some point we stop shooting straight and start subscribing to the game. It's the game. There is no one else to blame for what two unfulfilled hearts will do, becoming one just to maintain. We both started out knowing the value in each other's eyes, like you knew that I was a smartass and I knew that you were a vibe. And I knew that you were a rocket man with ambitions for the sky. And I was your muse, your rocket fuel, with the parting of these sighs. What I didn't know was a fangirl ain't the mindset of the wife. What I didn't know was in order to love you, I had to love me twice. That's one time for the big girl, one for the little one inside. All I knew was to revel. Was the value of reveling in your glow, was a get in where I fit in vibe, leave well enough alone, a get in fit into an image that I hoped you would condone, that exception I didn't fuck with just as long as you come home, that fuck the way you feel inside, that man's your backbone, in retrospect, that could have been where it all went wrong, I was moving without you, I didn't have one of my own, but something had changed. I know everything does, and nothing stays the same, but at some point, we stop shooting straight and start subscribing to the game. We started out expecting that we needed a better half. Then the roads in life got complicated, and so did the math. Add two new chicks in a secret, divide your attention and your time. Add some compromise, act civilized, pretend that everything is fine. When you run up all the numbers, it equals out to be the same. Two people toxically in love, playing mind games, but something had changed. The game was to blame. When a sister doesn't love herself, she seeks it in his name. When a brother doesn't love himself the way a man should love a man, expectations and delusions tend to ruin everything. Do you already feel royal before he calls you king or queen? Are you coming to the table knowing everything you bring? Commitment scares a man who doesn't feel quite whole inside, and submission is martyrdom to a sister lacking in self-pride. Both holding on to the exit doors, claiming they're taken for a ride. This game will have you on blast and him on gas till you're too run down to fight. It will have you making moves that you won't know were wrong or right. It's trying hard or walking off the better form of crime. The elders say that man ain't perfect. Take it one day at a time. Once things have changed in your body, they start to echo in your mind. So this time I'm saying to this game, I don't subscribe. It seems the choice is loving you or trying to stay alive. How do I form the words to say farewell and long goodbye? And that's it. Sorry, it wasn't Facebook.
Ooh, man. Queen Simmons, Queen Simmons, Queen Simmons, Queen Simmons. You know I love your ink. Right?
Thank you.
You're a dynamic poet. This piece is a representation of just how dynamic you truly are. I haven't heard a piece of yours yet that I did not like. So, I'm here for it. Whenever you want to spit pieces, I'm here for it. I'm tuned in. I'm all ears. I'm all ears.
I love that. Thank you, Dan.
No, you're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. Now, before I get you on over to that VIP lounge and get you some of this Tibetan imported champagne, can you let everybody know what you got going?
Okay, absolutely. So this Monday night, you guys are in for a treat. Kings and Queens Quarters is taking a night off and making way for a return of what show is that?
The Soul Cafe.
The Soul Cafe, that's right. So the Soul Cafe will be this Monday night at 9 p.m., but Kings and Queens Quarter will be returning following Monday night at 9 p.m., and we'll keep you guys posted on what we have in store.
You can't see my church finger up. I got my church finger
up. Uh-oh. Your church finger.
The following Monday is Labor Day. So get with King and make sure you still want to do it. I'm not opposed if y'all want to do it with family and all that kind of stuff, but if y'all want to do it.
Yeah, we'll be through. You know, he doesn't believe, the king doesn't believe in the holidays as mere mortals. So our work ethic
is different.
But he's going to
enjoy that day off.
We'll see. But we'll likely be in the house, and I don't mind. Even if we come through and play a little music, because, you know, it is days when people are likely busy for the most part. But, you know, we'll work it out. We'll definitely be returning the following Mondays for sure.
All right. Wonderful. All right, get yourself on over to that VIP lounge, grab you some of the Tibetan champagne. Hey, man, Danielle is working on her second bottle. We only in the hour number two, and she already on bottle number two. So that lets me know that it's some good stuff. So you got to let me know how good it truly is.
Okay, for sure. I got you. Thank you.
Perfect.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic. Ladies and gentlemen, on her way to the lounge is Queen Simmons. Check her out every Monday, except for this Monday, y'all. Except for this Monday with King Atterbury.
Man, I came home from work. All I wanted was a beer and see someone twerk. It's Friday, and I'm ready to turn up. Single and no dates lined up. Gotta get in them streets, see what's poppin'. Can't let nothing stop me. Wait, hold up. It's time for Let's Talk About It. The radio show on Epiphany? Let's get it. Time to take my socks off and get comfy and do date night differently. Tonight's topic? You just have to tune in and see. Cause there won't be no debate. Now tell me, can anyone relate?
You are listening to Epiphany Radio, For Real Entertainment Network. I am Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic. Take your socks off.
Dial-in number if you're listening online, 319-527-6300. Dial in, and by all means, please press 1. You have until the 11 o'clock hour to make sure you dial in before you would no longer be able to hear the rest of the show or be able to dial in, because after 11 o'clock, it's overtime, and you have to wait for the playback. I'm your host tonight, Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic. Tonight, we are discussing relationship's over, breakup has happened. What is an acceptable time frame for one of you to leave the dwelling place, the abode, the residence that you both call home? What is an acceptable time frame? So let's keep this party going. Next up on the mic, we have Amelia T. Davis, a.k.a. Poetical Angel Queen. Hey, Amelia.
Good evening, King.
Good evening, good evening. Interesting topic tonight, huh?
Yes. The topic didn't so much bother me as some music that was played kind of got me in my feelings.
Oh, got you in your feelings, huh?
A little bit, yeah. But to answer, well, I wrote you a new piece, so, you know, the ink is wet. But the simple answer is I think you should be gone, like, immediately. Although, given circumstances, you know, it might get prolonged. Because, for example, if one person knows that they're sick and tired or whatever, or they have somebody on the side or whatever the circumstance, they know, but the other person doesn't and is going, you know, along with everything, not understanding or being aware that something has gone awry, then when the person comes in and says, well, you know, I'm leaving or I want an end to this, then the other person could be surprised and shocked and may need some time to you know, get their own place. But in the beginning of a relationship, I could see you possibly having some money set aside or what have you. But if it's a long-term relationship, you've been married for many, many years, that is unreasonable to believe that given that amount of time that you're going to suspect that something might go wrong, because it hasn't for the past whatever. So you may not have the funds available or, you know, a family member or whatever to leave. So you might have to stick around for a little while just to obtain enough finances to leave, you know. But nonetheless, regardless if it takes 2 weeks, 2 months, I believe personally that when it's come to an end, it should be living arrangements elsewhere.
Absolutely.
And like what you said, which was 100%, if you go to marriage therapy, and whether it's with a marriage therapist or a minister, pastor, what have you, both people have to be on board. One person could be sitting there, their body is there, their mind is elsewhere. They don't really care.
And their heart. Hello. Hello,
right.
Somebody.
Exactly. Exactly. So that is not necessarily a cure.
No.
But yeah.
Go ahead.
But when, you know, if you've had somebody that has cheated, I believe you could overcome it if both parties are on board to correct whatever the issue, because that's really a symptom of some other issue. And if you come together willing to attempt to work it out, yeah, I think that it's possible. More than likely, somehow it's not going to work out, because like you said, once something like that has happened, you have put a big boulder in the middle of your relationship. And even if the other person never cheats again and you try to work it out and go for it, the other person is always going to have in their mind some suspicion, some untrust of that person. And so it's going to unravel eventually, unless, like I said, you really, really work at it and delve into the entire matter. I think you could overcome
I'm going to tell you like this, ladies. We dating, we together, you my woman. If you're going to cheat on me, just know the relationship will never be the same, because I will never look at you the same. You can apologize till you blew in the face. You might as well just prepare for that relationship to be over. Yeah. I tried to do that.
Right.
It's not in the cards for me. If I'm giving you my all and you decide to do those things to me, there is no coming back from that.
Right.
I just don't care. You know, because you have to have accountability for yourself. And you can't just walk around just doing that to people. You can't do that. If that's what you want, then don't be in a relationship. Don't be with someone. Just stay single.
Exactly. But yet, okay, you said dating or, you know, like maybe living together, not a marriage. I'm talking about a marriage. If you have been married for a period of time and possibly, you know, there may be able to be some way to rectify it, but more than likely. But again, you know, when you're in a serious relationship, there is a level of trust, and you break that trust, more than likely, it's going to be over, because the other person is not only going to feel betrayed, but they're always going to have in the back of their mind, what is he or she, you know, doing, like you were saying about somebody going back and saying, what were you doing on May 7th at 1 p.m. because you weren't here? And
absolutely.
That is what's going to continually, and so it'll self-destruct eventually. So if you care, if you love that person, if you value that person, you will not break that trust
and you
go
know,
somewhere
we hear,
else.
We hear a lot of, well, they made me angry or I wasn't in my right mind or I was in an uncomfortable situation or I was just upset that day. Well, you need to be by yourself. Don't go hurting somebody else just because you're not feeling right. That's not right. Learn how to be an adult and have a conversation with the person. Oh, man,
exactly.
Y'all taking me you taking me someplace different. I got to calm down.
So you're saying, like, you know, a female speaking to a male, but I had that with the male speaking to me, and this was specifically the first.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've talked about it in the past. He cheated repeatedly, but I was so young, you know, I didn't really comprehend, and I gave him a lot of chances, but at the end of the day, he just kept, you know, kept it up and never, because he never got, you know, some kind of ramification, of course. And that was the kind of things he would, you know, crazy, stupid excuses. And you're absolutely right. You should be on your own until which time you can guarantee to someone else that, you know, you're 100%. Like, you're not going to cheat because you feel some kind of way. Or somebody did something in your past, and that's why you're doing something now. Like he said, if you're going to hurt somebody else because of some kind of hurt you have received somewhere, somehow, then you got no business with somebody else. You need to handle what you need to handle within yourself to be 100% before you offer yourself to someone else in a serious type of relationship. You really do. If that needs to be praying, speaking to a minister, speaking to a therapist, whatever, but you really do need to heal yourself from whatever aspects that have taken place.
Yeah.
And
you know, let me say this. A lot of y'all talk about some bad men, right? A lot of y'all talk about bad men, men are bad, or, you know, there's no good men because they're bad, right? To those women that speak that dialect, please understand, those men were not bad until a woman turned them that way. Because there have been several days where I could be that guy, but I hold myself to a higher standard, and I realize that I have my children who are watching me be the man that I am today, and I refuse to allow a woman turn me into a man that I'm not. But what I am is I'm very cautious about the women that I deal with, and I let them know, hey, these are red flags for me. These are triggers for me. So I'm going to have to respectfully remove myself from this equation from a relationship standpoint, if that's what you're seeking, because that's not going to be me. So I'd encourage you to continue your search, because I'm not it. But yeah, most of the time, if you talk to some of these quote-unquote men who women have deemed bad, I can promise you, almost 90% of the time, there was a woman that has shown them this behavior and has forced them to be something that they're not. And they just lived it.
But on the flip side, the very same thing could be said about females, because, you know, men have caused issues with females as well. And the same thing.
No, that doesn't happen. Yeah. Of course I know that happens.
Yeah. But I'm saying that it's for both. I mean, it's both sides. And like, you know, we've said before.
Yeah, but see, it is both sides. But you have more women talking down about men than men talking down about women. And that has been proven. You can go anywhere, any platform, any radio show, any talk show, any social media outlet, and there's more men bashing than there is women bashing.
I don't know about that, because
do your research and get back to me. Do your research and get back
to me. I know that at least quite often men have no problem calling a woman a B, calling her an H, calling her all kinds of names outside of her given name. So that's still a form of disrespect. It's still a form of bashing.
That is because women accept that behavior. And have since the 80s, since the 70s, since the 60s. However, in the reference that I'm talking about, I'm not talking about necessarily name calling. I'm talking about imposition. Because today's women are about being taken care of by sugar daddies, about having wealth, someone else's wealth, not even their own wealth. There's a lot of women out there like that. Like I said, do your research and get back to me. That's all.
Okay, but
I'm not discrediting what you're
right.
saying, but what I am saying is that it happens more so with women talking about men than it does men talking about women.
Okay, I will do my research on that. But I know that there is this mentality throughout females, mostly younger females, about finances, you know, to pay her some, you know, you got to bring her some kind of big diamond ring, or you got to pay for a car or what have you. But on the flip side, then the men is really looking just for some sex. So it's like, really, it boils down to prostitution. Neither side really looked at it that way, but that's really what it is. Like, if dude is buying you some, you know, paying for whatever, giving you some kind of financial support, and you giving him some, you know, kitty cat, that boils down to prostitution. Hello? But a lot of females and males, a lot of females and males will, you know, get upset with that statement, but that really is what is going on. And it's, when are we as human beings going to get back to valuing and looking for a good person at their core, not what they look, not, you know, how pretty their face is or how shapely their body is, but who are they at their core? And you could have a very beautiful woman or a stunning, handsome man, and they are just garbage on the inside, and you're going to have a relationship that's going to end up failing because you're basing it on what they look like. You're not basing it on who they are at their core. And you could end up having somebody that might be considered not very good looking, but has a phenomenal soul. You know, we really have to get back to really valuing people for who they are at their core, their minds and their souls, and not necessarily what their bodies look like, because eventually, you know, they're going to change. Like, their hair is going to get gray, or they may become bald. They might put some weight on or what have you. So you really need to fall in love with the person at their core, who they are in their heart, mind, and soul.
Because I've seen some pretty ugly people, but that's a whole nother show. So what pieces you got for us? I know you said you brought some new ink, but what piece you got for us now that we done got through that particular part of the show? What you got for us?
Well, I wasn't taking it, the, you know, like your music. Like, it's called, well, you'll see. It's called Broke Up, I'm Gone. Broke up, I'm gone.
The mic is yours.
After leaving my ex almost a decade ago in the dating scene, I've come across some who continue to live with the person they are no longer in a romantic relationship with. I will bring those stories as they were explained to me within this piece. Person number one to me, that he remained married and living with his spouse for the benefit of the children. In other words, it was basically a open relationship where each spouse was dating other people. They continued to live together out of financial reasons, but also to keep a two-parent environment for their children. This was extremely disturbing to me. I felt that he could say anything about the status of his relationship, but did the wife in question actually know about this? And did she actually go along with it? In addition, that circumstance wasn't healthy for the children to grow up in such an environment, if what he was saying was true, because it sent a very disturbing message to the children in question. Person number two stated that his roommate and he had been previously in a romantic relationship, but had now decided to remain together in the same living environment to save on the high price of rent. They shared a two-bedroom apartment, both having separate rooms. This, again, was disturbing to me because, again, was the female in question actually on the same page as he, or was he lying about the circumstances? Just because they had separate rooms didn't mean that they were not involved in some kind of romantic relationship. Person number three. I met him on Facebook, so I never met him in person. This story is, I believe, one of the most unusual, to say the least. Said that at one time, when he and his wife were pulling in very good money, they decided to buy a house that would be available to both sets of their families in case of need. As in, Uncle Joe lost his job, in danger of being homeless. He could then move in until which time he could get back on his feet and move out. This, to me, was a phenomenal idea they had. As it was explained to me, the wife was doing very well financially, but he wasn't. So he moved into the family home, and since he was there, then the children were also living there for him to basically babysit, etc. So since she was earning way more money than he was, she was paying him spousal support along with providing financially for the children. Yet, wife, ex-wife, would come and go depending on her job assignment, etc. So he could not have any female in the shared house, of course, because of the children and wife coming and going. And because of not having a job, he could not afford a hotel room, et cetera, for a female connection. This was odd to me on so many levels. I tried hard to be just his friend through Facebook, but it got way too crazy for me, as in different circumstances that came up, and I could not cope so much. I had to end our friendship and Facebook connection. I can certainly understand that depending on where you may live in this country, there is high rent mortgage as a factor in determining what your living environment may be after a breakup. Yet, I truly believe that this sets up some very difficult and possible negative circumstances somewhere in the future. I, in fact, had my own set of issues when my marriage fell apart. Yet, to remain in the household after the end would have worked out in a financial way, but would have caused numerous problems. I truly believe that living with someone who once was a romantic partner is truly a devastating circumstance waiting to happen. The best and most responsible way for those who were once involved is to move out and stand on their own two feet, even more so when children are involved. This in no way is a healthy environment for children to be exposed to and have to cope with. Of course, this is my own personal belief and what advice I would give to any friend. Move out immediately. Stand on your own. Musings of Emilia T. Davis, a.k.a. Poetical Angel Queen, Antiques.
All right, Emilia. All right, I hear you. Put it out there. Lay it out there. Nice, fresh ink. Nice journey that you took us through on that piece. I could dig it. I see where you're coming from. Lay it out there. Put it all out there. Lay it out there. That's what I'm
talking about. Well, like I said, if, for example, you came to me because we're friends, you came to me and you asked me, what do I think about this, you know, this, that would be my advice. Leave. Do not stay around. Regardless if there's some kind of financial issues, do your best to get out. Because, you know, that also sets up possible abuse, as in physical abuse, and also with a possibility of death happening, and it has, in fact, happened in the past, where people have done that, stayed, you know, in a living situation, and the other person guns them down. So it's best get out, stay safe, get your own place. Please do not remain in, you know, a living situation, because it really could end up being very devastating.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to get you on over to the VIP lounge so that you can grab your glass of bubbly. Imported from Tibet. So stick around, enjoy the rest of the show, because we got to keep the party going. One love,
one mic. Love, one mic. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Amelia T. Davis with her Fresh Ink. We're going to keep this party going and now go to our favorite Canadian, Lady A. Hey, Lady A, how are you tonight?
Sorry, I lost the phone in between the cushions on my couch. I'm good.
That's
good.
All right.
How are you?
That's all right. I'm doing pretty good. No complaints. No complaints. So, are you ready to get into this with me tonight?
Sure.
All right. All right. So, the question is, you and your boo live together. You know, y'all making it, you know, relationship. Thought the relationship was going good, but it's not anymore. Who, not who, but what is an acceptable time frame that you've called it quits, you're living together? What is an acceptable time frame to depart the dwelling space, the dwelling space?
Well, unless you've been blindsided, you know, like you're standing there and saying, I love you, and then he says, okay, I'm done, I'm out of here because I have another person or whatever it is. I think there's time enough to make a plan before you actually split up or you discuss it with that other person. I think people probably plan it ahead of time so that they have those things in place so that when you do talk about splitting up, it's not a new topic, but you're just sort of, okay, it's time to call it a day. I think it's as soon as you can possibly move out, to move out. If you're not happy, I don't think that anything prolonged is healthy for either person. So whoever wants to take, you know, the trip out the door, then as soon as possible, they should do so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in the next breath, I hear you saying, like, before you take the next breath, go ahead and step one out the door. That's what I hear.
Well, you know, like, a couple is having, I mean, people don't leave deliriously happy marriages or relationships, so the pot has been brewing for a while, you have an idea, something's up, you know. Like I said, unless you're being blindsided all of a sudden and have no clue as to what's going on. So during that time where you're suspecting something or you're feeling it for yourself, you have time to formulate some kind of a plan for leaving. And I think that whoever is making the plan, whether it's mutual or one-sided, they should just go as soon as they can, because it just makes life miserable if you don't. And I tried to, when I split up with my ex, I tried to stay there. I was in school, and I tried to stay there till the end of the term, and it ended up, from the time I said that I was leaving till I actually left was probably a couple of weeks, because you know, you discuss the idea of staying until you're out of school or whatever your situation is, and it just doesn't
right.
work that way unless you're a super
yeah.
person.
Yeah, because
it
definitely can get, like you said, it can be a miserable experience, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I value my sanity, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to stay in that. I mean, you know, I left the space, my house. My attorney was upset with me. I looked my attorney in the face. I said, it's either my freedom or my sanity. I chose my freedom.
Yeah.
It was a hard choice. It was a hard choice. It was hard. But for
yeah.
the sake of me making sure that I was going to have my freedom, I had to leave the space. My attorney said, I wish you didn't do that. You know what? I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah,
you're not
I
living did, in the space, you know?
Yeah. And I did pretty much the same thing. I left without my lawyer thought I was nuts when I left because I left with nothing. And I took a few things, like the things my mother gave me. But other than that, I had to start all over again. And I left my house, and it had.
Yeah.
I paid the price for that, and I think it was to do with the kids because they grew up in that house and they wanted to stay in the house. And I wasn't thinking. I didn't have the. I just wanted out. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you kind of regret things how they are done because of the of how things turned out. But in any case, if you're not happy, you're not happy. No matter what the cause of it is, if you have somebody else waiting for you, you know, that's kind of the fire that lights your butt to get out. And as
right.
I said before, I think people don't leave deliriously happy relationships. They leave because they're unhappy. And, So it's a hard call for sure because it boils down to who do you stay for? Do you stay for the kids? Is that good for the kids? Or do you leave because you need to get a life for yourself? I don't know. Like, everybody's different, I suppose.
Yeah, everyone's different. Yeah, everyone's different. I mean, you know, because my thought process was to stay for my kids, but the kids seeing me miserable didn't help their sanity.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So I made the hard choice. You know, so, but man, thank you for sharing that part of you with us tonight. I appreciate it. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. You always have very interesting shows and. You know, you get to be able to share part of yourself. A lot of people are very closed up, and they can't do that. It's not in their character. But I think that if they learned how to at least let some of that leak out, they would find that they cope better in their situation or in life in general, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, what piece of ink did you bring for us tonight?
I brought a piece that reflects, I guess, a breakup, and not a pleasant one either. But I kind of like to, I would love for you to have a show based on what you've said about when you see, I'm just sort of generally restating that you see a man that's unhappy or whatever the situation is because a woman has treated him badly. In essence,
you know,
I think that's what
I may have
that
to do that.
That was a big one.
I
was talking about like this. I heard you say that, and I'm like, oh.
yeah. We.
So that
we
would
have
be
to
a
visit,
very
you know.
Interesting show for you to have in the future, in the very near future. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Discussion in itself.
All right. The mic is yours.
Okay, so I'm always torn between two poems but I think I'm going to read this one here. And it is called You Don't Get to Tell Me. A heartfelt apology is long overdue. A heartfelt, I'm sorry I hurt you. Months ago would have helped heal my head. You took willingly what was given instead. acknowledge and own the sorrow you caused. It was 24 years the last time I paused. When a man's words melted my brain, you came along, and I melted again. No credence was given. It was just a few weeks. No pat on the head or kiss on the cheek. Gifts given to you were transformed from beauty to dirty. You said predator, scorned. Indifferent to heartache, ignored and belied. He forgot his manners, should have apologized. I heard the whispers, accusations, but then, oops, don't forget your unkind words about them. I've lost heart, lost faith in mankind, feeling empty, forgotten with no end this night. Validation is needed. Don't tell me how to feel. No one can tell me what I felt wasn't real. Silence isn't golden. It's killed me inside. Do what is right and admit that you lied. End poem.
I like that, Lady A. Admit what is right. Admit that you lied.
Yeah.
You know, this was a nice little breakup poem. I love the way that you did it. But a lot of truth in the piece. So, you know, sometimes I wonder where your headspace be when you write your stuff. Because you write differently. Your metaphors are different. The way that you use your words are different. And when you infuse elements of nature in your pieces, it makes them so much more appealing to me because I love nature.
Wow.
And, yeah, this is a beautiful piece. Even though it was, I like to call these kinds of pieces painfully beautiful. So,
yes.
Thank you for that.
Yes. I agree. I find it interesting that you find that I write differently. I find that that's a very interesting statement, and I try to understand what it means because I write the way I write.
Well, let me help you. Let me help you.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
There's only one Shakespeare that writes like Shakespeare. There's only one Edgar Allan Poe that writes like Edgar Allan Poe. Their style is unique and often never duplicated. It's very, very few poets come to their style. Maya Angelou, she's unique. She's different. So.
Wow. Thank you for that. Wow.
You're welcome.
You're the bomb.
Now I'm going to get you. No, you're the bomb. You're the bomb. But now I'm going to get you over to the VIP lounge so you can grab a glass of that imported Tibetan champagne so that you can, have a good time, mingle. Don't worry about what's going on the right side when you walk in because that's where the Danielle and the security team are. They got the curtains drawn. I think I just heard them call for a third bottle of champagne. All right.
Okay.
So get on over there, enjoy yourself. Stick around, enjoy the
rest
of the
show. All right, thanks so much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, before you go, may I ask?
Yes,
I always try to find the event page, and I can't find it ever.
Oh,
what am I?
You know what? Here, hold on, hold on.
If I'm to look for, what should I look under? I can never find
Epiphany Radio. But
yes, and
it takes me
to the announcement page where the poetry is taking place, but it doesn't take me to the event page.
Yeah, that is the event page. Epiphany Radio, let's talk about it during Date Night Differently. It says happening now.
Okay, let me try it. Because for real entertainment.
And I just tagged you to it.
Okay. And it's Radio Presents the on demand episodes. Yeah,
Facebook.
They're all on demand.
Not Facebook.
Oh. Okay, let me see. Where are you? Okay, I'll have to figure this out. I don't need to take up your time, so I will figure this out. And thank you so much again.
You're welcome. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Lady A, our favorite Canadian. Man, listen. Welcome to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Tonight, let's talk about it, where we do date night differently. I will give you the dial-in number, but guess what? And they kind of got cut off because they didn't dial in for the last time I gave them the dial-in number. So if you're still hearing the sound of my voice, congratulations, we're now into the overtime hour. So let's keep this party going. Next up on the mic is my brother Jay Walk. What's good with you, bro?
What's good, Sam? You know how we do.
How you feeling, man? How you feeling, bro?
Oh, man, I can't even call it. I can't complain, brother. I'm still on this side of the dirt, so, you know,
Yes, sir.
I still got work to do.
Absolutely. You already know. I'm glad you're on this side of the dirt, and I'm glad you're here because that means that there's something for you to say. So
good.
Let's get to it, bro. Let's get to it because I gotta hear from my fellas, right? Because the ladies have been coming through and they've been slaying the mic. We had one brother, Mr. Automatic Charismatic. So Jay Walk, outside of myself, you are the other. So, my good brother. The relationship is over, but y'all live together. What's an acceptable time frame for either you or her to be gone?
You know what? One thing that I've learned in relationships, marriage, whatnot, there's no rules. There's no time frames. There's a comfortability level. So whenever you no longer are comfortable with each other, you're no longer comfortable in that living space. Because you have to realize, man, you can not be together and still be friends. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to hate each other. You don't have to, regardless if the relationship didn't work. I feel like if it ended on a bad note, you probably need to get the hell away from each other as soon as possible. But for the most part, man, a lot of people don't hate each other. A lot of people are better friends than they are lovers. And it's y'all time frame. It's whatever that's comfortable for you guys to leave.
So you said tomorrow? You said the next day? You said
I mean, you know. Hey, you know, if it's that bad, hey, man, you get on the first night smoking, plane, train, automobile, you get up out of there. You know?
My man.
You get that thing packed, man, while she going to work, pack some bags while she ain't looking, and you slide up out of there, you know? I think it's different, man, when there's property involved, because what happens when property complicates things, you know, when you think about it to a certain level. Well, I won't say it complicates things. I would say it complicates grown people things. If you guys have, you guys work and you guys build and you guys built this empire, that complicates things. You can't just jump up and leave what you
right.
built.
Yeah. And you know, I know I said right away, but when I left my house, my ex-wife, I stayed as long as I did because of my kids. I'm gonna be real.
Yeah.
I stayed as long as I did because of my kids. But once I realized that it became a toxic environment for them. I had to remove myself to make sure that they can still function, that they can still operate, right? And it was my job as their father to let them know, listen, we're in transition. I'm not leaving you. Me and your mother not working out, but I am never leaving you. So don't ever think that I'm leaving you. Just the whole dynamics of the way that things that you were used to is going to change. Now, my first ex-wife, we ain't had no kids together. I got out of Dodge.
Out of there. Out of there. And you have to, man. You have to, because that's why it's called co-parenting. Because if you're co-parenting, when you guys break up, it is y'all job to make sure that those guys, that the kids doesn't have an unconscious bias towards the other one. They have to stay neutral and love each parent the same.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And
right.
You have to
and
stay
you know,
there long enough
yeah.
for them to see that.
Yeah. And you know, and I made sure when I talk about her, I don't ever talk bad about her around my kids. Still their mother.
Yeah. You don't have to, and you're not supposed to. And you know what?
Yeah.
At the same time, regardless of what that person did to you, you know what? She still gave you the greatest gift in this world, your children.
Absolutely, my children. Yeah, yeah.
You know, so you have to Absolutely. Look at that, man. Somebody told me a long time ago she was good enough to have kids with. You are absolutely right. You know
absolutely.
What I mean? And you look at things a little different, you know, for the sake
even
of
if
the
she,
children.
Even
you know?
If she even if she took those kids, like she told my sister.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the hardest thing about being an adult sometimes, my brother, is being an adult about every situation. When you think about that, when you really think about that, man, when you hurt and you go through stuff, man, you either, you know, there's a stage in your life, man, where that pettiness comes out and you want to be petty as hell. But, and that's
yeah.
when you have to be an adult. That time when you want to be petty, man, is a time you have to be an adult. And, you know, and that to take that for what that is, man. I mean, we've all had it, you know. And, I've had times where I was like, man, look here. Whew, if you was on fire, if I had a bucket of gas, I'd douse it on you. But at the same time, we got kids. So I'm going to go on and extinguish this. Don't mean I like it, but my kids have to still deal with you. My kids still have to love you, you know, so you have to be an adult about it. And I think sometimes, man, the hardest thing about being an adult is being an adult.
You're so right. So right.
Yeah.
I can't argue with that, man. I can't argue with that. You know, I got four little mini humans that I'm still trying to raise to be adults. My one adult child, I'm counting the days, but... But you're right, though, man. As I said, my freedom is everything to me. My sanity is everything to me. And if you don't understand that, hey, listen, I can't offer you nothing. I can't offer you nothing. If I'm free. Go ahead, bro.
I feel you, man. And you know, I'm gonna counter that with, you know, add peace in there with your freedom, man. Add your peace in there, man, because
Absolutely.
You can be free but not be at peace. You know what I mean?
Oh no,
your peace is everything,
hey,
man.
Listen, if something is disturbing my peace, bro, I cut it off.
You see what I'm
cut
saying?
It off.
You have to have that. You have to
I
have
cut
that.
It off.
To even function with anything in life, you can be free and not have peace, man, and you're gonna give the world turmoil.
Yeah, because
you know what I mean.
Well, first of all, ain't no way on God's green earth I'm allow another human that breathe the same air I breathe to cause me no peace. What? No.
Exactly.
Listen. You have total control over who has access to you. Once you cut
exactly.
that access off, I got people right now that are still trying to get access back to me because I cut them off. No, you had an opportunity. You decided
man,
to cause me, mess up my peace. Last thing I got time to worry about is one individual when I got kids I'm trying to raise. They
man,
come first and foremost. Everything else after that is secondary. And I don't
speak
care who
it.
Don't like it.
Speak on it.
You ain't messing,
that's
messing
part,
up my
man.
Peace.
Part, man, a lot of people don't get, man, you know. And that's at the end of the day, man, a woman can tell you, how treacherous her day was, what she been through, how she don't like the boss, how the females at work hating on her, how somebody cut her off and ran her off the freeway, how she caught a flat tire. But at the end of the day, when she bring that and she start turning against you because her day went bad, now she's interrupting your peace. Because, like I said, I will be the U-Haul to help you carry U-Haul all the things that you haul, but I won't be your punching bag.
I will not. I will not. And listen, listen, listen. That punching bag that we're talking about is not just physical. There's a mental punching bag.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah.
There's an emotional punching bag.
Yes, sir, and that's the hardest thing about a relationship, that emotional piece, that emotional baggage, man. I got a piece that I wrote years ago called Baggage Claim. You know what I mean? And we'll get into that one day, but baggage claim, man, is I accepted you with all the baggage that you brought to the table. But even though I accepted you with that baggage, I'm here to help you carry that bag, those bags and that baggage, but I will not allow you to dump on me because I chose to help you.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, because you have to think, man, I mean, think about every relationship you've been in. Every relationship, it's like going somewhere and taking something with you in every relationship. So if you've been in 20 relationships, you got 20 different pieces of people, of spiritual residue on you.
Yep.
And that's your makeup. That's who makes you. That's what makes you. You know, we're nothing more than a sum total in our life experiences in the way that we see things. We see things now in relationship 21 because of what we went through in all 20 relationships.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say, and I think that when you put it like you just put it, right? One of the greatest things that we can do as an individual is work on removing those 20 other relationships' spiritual residue out of our system. And two, know how to effectively communicate what bothered you about those things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the key. Once we've communicated what bothered us in those 20 past relationships, it is now the other party's job to receive what we have just given them and learn how to cultivate not being that thing that bothers us.
Exactly. You know, it reminds me, I don't know if you listen to any Eric Robinson.
Oh, yeah. I love that dude.
So it reminds you of the song, his latest hit, Lessons?
Lessons. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Man, when you think about that, everybody I've been with in life led me to you.
You
know
what
I mean? So
when I tell you that is the most powerful line in that song.
Man, when I said that brother hit a home run with that, summed it up. Like, what he was able to, the magic he was able to capture in that song, man, it says a lot about
everyday life, did you hit a remix?
Man.
Did you hit a remix?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Listen,
oh, yeah.
I was like, bro, the song was already fine by itself. But then you go add these other cats
exactly.
that I enjoy listening to, and then they bring their perspective. Bruh.
Exactly, man. I was sitting back like, damn, you did a remix to a song that was, man, that's almost like.
That was already.
That's
exactly.
Like that's almost like a remix to Sexual Healing. It was perfect.
Right.
Didn't have to be
perfect.
Done. But the only person
perfect.
That could do that is Marvin Gaye, and he's not here.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, when you really think about it, I tell you what, another one. I've heard remakes after remakes after remakes, but it'll never be the original. Bobby Womack, If You Think You're Lonely Now.
If You Think You're Lonely Now? Yeah. Yeah. That'd be the version. I think the closest remade version of that was close to the original was when KC did it.
Yeah. But, you know, it still ain't the original. When you hear the original, you like, man. Don't nobody ever touch this song ever again in life.
Right.
You know?
Hey, man, listen. I'm sorry, y'all. I don't mean to jump topic. But bro, I found a new station on my Sirius XM, right? I found a new station. It's called Grown Folks Music, right?
I heard
a James Brown song with Four Force, bro. I was in my car jamming.
I'm about to pull that up.
I said, I got to download this because, man, that thing was on fire. James Brown started rapping a little bit. Four Force was back in the... Bro,
I'm gonna tell you
listen.
Something, man. James Brown was totally different. Every now and then, man, I'll put on some music, man, for my squad when they come in to work, man. And, you know, sometimes I'll put on some ground, man. But if you ever get a chance to listen to the Big Payback album, I ain't talking about the song.
Come on.
The album.
You talking about the album. Man, listen.
When you listen to the album, poof.
Man, I'm one of those dudes that if I hear a hip-hop song and I know it's been sampled, I want to hear the original. Because, all right, for some of y'all that don't know, EPMD sampled James Brown's The Big Payback, and they had a cut called The Big Payback. So check it out.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, I was like, man, let me go back and listen to this joint. Because, James Brown is definitely different.
When you listen to it, you're like, oh, this dude is different. And I'm just talking about the entire album. I can't think of it right now, man, but he has a slow jam on that thing, man. I had to put my damn phone down. I was like, are you serious?
You ever just
hear a song, man, you just got to walk away from it because it's so dope, you just don't have to just walk away.
Yeah, I got a couple songs like that, man.
I literally had to walk away, man.
Yeah, it's so much out there. You know, me and J-Rod, man, on the Get Down, man, we talked about this a few weeks ago. The show that we're going to be the B-sides. We're going to do a whole show, 3 hours, music from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s from the song, like, you pick your favorite album. I don't care what genre. Pick your favorite album. And on your favorite album, you got one song on that favorite album that never saw mainstream radio. The only way you heard it was if you listened to the album. So that's what we're going to be doing, man, with all those tracks. We're going to come up with a nice little playlist. And we're just going to play the music, open mics, and see how y'all feel about the songs. But, hey, I can't wait, man. That James Brown album sound like it might be on there. It might be on there.
Man, you know what? When I was listening to this, man, and I have the same effect when I listen to this album, and I know, you know, you're gonna flip when I say this. And the reason I say this because this album was so far ahead of its time. No different than what we do right now as far as, you know, the spoken word, this poetry and the things that we spit. I think to sum up what we do, this album is like the perfect soundtrack to what we do. And you pick a song off of it. And I'm going to say this. It was the very first album of the Diggable Planets.
Oh, yeah. Without question. Bro,
when you listen to that thing from start to finish,
I'm
talking about from start to finish. You put it on from the first.
It ain't too many albums that you could do that start to finish. It ain't too many. It is not too many. You got to skip a track. It is not too many, but you were so right. That Digable Planets, the first album, was, man, that was off the chart. Off the
man,
chart.
So when you think about that, it's off only so many albums that's like that. The very first, Tribe Called Quest, just like
yep.
that.
Yep.
It's
I'm going to tell you another one. D.O.C.
Who you got?
The Formula. That whole album, start to finish.
Oh, so I'm going to tell you a little secret. That's the D.O.C. The Doc. That's Dallas O'Cliff. That's my big homie.
What?
That's my big homie.
That's one of
my big homies, man. That's one of the guys, man, that I've looked up to and I can call up. He can give me some advice and just chop it up and talk about nothing sometime, man. That is definitely the big homie, man.
Yeah, that's my dude, you know, man. When that brother came out on the scene, man, because I was an NWA head, right? Anybody NWA
okay.
brought out, I was following them. I was with Arabian Prince, right? A lot of people didn't like
yeah.
that cat, but I rocked with him.
I tell you what, a lot of people don't even know who that is.
I tell you,
you know what? When you said that, I'm gonna tell you who I have in my playlist right now. MC8. I have an MC8 playlist.
Oh yeah, my man.
I have an MCA yeah. playlist, and if you get a chance, the last 3 years, man, MC8 has put out some jewels. A lot of people ain't heard of it.
Okay, I'm gonna go back and check him out.
Last couple of years, he's even put out a double. He has a joint, man, with Talib Kweli called man, what is the name of that joint? Man, just pull up MC8. And
all
man,
right, I got you.
Says something, man. He says, reflection is a meditation.
Mm. Yeah, I'm going to pull that up.
Past Mistakes. That's the name of the album. Past Mistakes.
Right.
It's called Past Mistakes.
All right, I'm going to check that out. Yeah, yeah. Hey, man,
we could do
this forever, bro.
We could definitely do this all night, man. What piece
you got for us tonight, bro? Let me get you, because I got a couple more calls that we get to, man.
Man, let's dive into this, man, because I want everybody to get that just do, man, because we all do this for the love of doing this.
You're right. But go ahead, bro. The mic is yours.
Yeah, let's unpack it. You were broken down when we got together, and yeah, I knew it. But I wanted to be the one there when you broke through it, willing to keep you healed from whatever hurt you. I let you bleed on me, and I wasn't even the one that cut you. I was the finish line from the things you tried to run from, and you were a loaded gun. I met you and you were so brittle, fragile, and weak. With the same strength you found, you took it out on me. Being there through your depression, it was my obsession. But that obsession led to my depression. Now I'm a mess trying to clean up your mess. Feel like my heart has been ripped out of my chest, torn from the seams. It no longer beats. I don't need it anymore. Go ahead. You can keep it, because I no longer need it. Tears on repeat. Now I'm looking for someone to save me. Who's going to let me bleed on them when they wasn't the one who cut me? So I pray that I don't break them like you broke me, whether it's unintentional or just plain evil. Believe it or not, hurt people. That's my piece.
My man. This is a deep piece, bro. Definitely for tonight's show. Hurt people. As a true fact. But who's, yo, when you talk about who's gonna let me bleed on them? Bruh.
Yeah, man, you think about that, man. You know, think about the hurt people that you came across and you tried to love and you let them bleed on you when you wasn't even the one that cut them.
Man, that's serious. Dope ink, bro. But we're going to chop it up some more, bro. I'm going to get to these calls, but I'm going to send you one over to the VIP lounge, man. Grab your glass of this imported Tibetan champagne and stick around and enjoy the rest of the show, my brother.
Hey, one love, one mic.
One love, one mic, man. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my brother, Jay Walk, man. That brother is fire. We want to go from Jay Walk, man, to Mr. Tuesday Night around here at Epiphany, a.k.a. Iron Man, but y'all affectionately know him as Mojave. What's good, Javi? Mojave, you good? Did this bro fall asleep? Oh, okay. There you go. I knew once I said sleep, he'd be around. What's good, Javi? What's good, Brody?
What's going on? What's happening, Brody?
How you feeling, man?
I'm chilling like Bob Dylan.
Good, man. Glad to hear you, bro. Good to hear you.
So sorry. Yeah. So what's going on? What's happening? Let's get into it.
I got to hear this answer. Let's get into it. My brother. Relationship is over.
Uh-huh.
Y'all live together. What is an acceptable time frame for you or her to leave the abode?
Well, I think what influences first is the nature of the breakup. You know, you can break up, it can be amicable, or it can be, you know, tumultuous. So
right.
Those two factors automatically govern that off top. You know, if it's something that you both agree to, you're more amicable, you probably take your time to figure out whatever the rest of your lease is, or figure out how you're going to sell or move things around, because, you know, things have to be split in a proper fashion. When it's like on some craziness, when it's on some craziness, you got to go.
In the next breath, out. Ooh, don't even exhale. Go ahead, exhale out the door.
I'm just saying, I've been kicked out of and left before. I know what it feels like. I'm just like, yeah. So you just get your stuff and go. There you go. See you later. Bye. Figure those things out. So,
bro.
You know, people do jerky things too. That's the other thing. I'm like, man, they'd be so ready to just do craziness and not think about what it means, you know. Now, if you have nothing in common to say, you know, someone had this, that, but, you know, you collectively push yourself together, that might be hard, but. You know, a lot of times when people in situations, the hardest thing that they have to worry about is not just being the principal of someone's only child, the children that take possession of this person. That can make it even more difficult. But if you both agree, so you'll make up the time you have to go. Anything else? I remember my ex, the last time when I was moving stuff, right? I was taking stuff out of her bag. Like, it was like nuts because that was her thing. She was like, yo, you got to get your stuff and go. Like, go. And the thing was is that she's such in a rush. She's such in a rush.
Wow.
That everything started falling down around her. Like, you did her decision making choices. You know, it's all fun and games to, you know, it's all fun and games to you be with somebody. You leave your husband for another person who can't even take care of themselves. And then they hold on to you, you know, hold on to you. Like monkey in the zoo, you know.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know. You know that I know what you know that I know that you know what I know you know. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, you know, if you can get there and knock it out, it'd be good. So,
my man, But I feel you though. Without question, I feel you. No doubt. But what drippage of ink do you want to drop on us tonight?
I was just looking for it right now. Yeah, I think I got it. Hold on. I've got to get rid of some stuff here real quick. Wow. That's interesting. Okay, here we go. Let's try this out. Put this down. Move this over. Pick this up. There we go. Hold on. Let's try it. You hear that?
I can.
All right. I got you. I heard it said that a man is not supposed to cry, but here I am, brown liquor in hand, lamenting and regretting what we used to be, praying that you'll come back to me. The face in my bed is misses the weight of you, occupying sheets and comforter, the sweet smell of your perfume and the volume of sensual sigh, and a luxury that I can't beat, excited by my arousal, to reach deep inside you, to grow your desire, to bring about the orgasm and the elements of earth, wind, and fire, the salt inside of each drop seasons the good memories of you, makes it hard to stop. And I could cry a river as my heart is cut from the slivers of ribbon that no longer float in the sky. I feel the darkness developing as I lose the light that you used to be. What I would give to feel the whisper of your lips, parting with his mind, my flesh, it's a mess. Candlelight licking pantomime shadows, walls telling stories of bodies and their movements, moans penetrating silence while our sex makes violence, passionate, not painful, drainful as we empty into each other. The time we are full of energy and sleepy, wanting to feel your wants and submissiveness, asking me to enter, to beg me to let you come and to teach you hesitation that builds your elation until you spill all over me and I taste you beating. How our bodies in the shower never seem to get clean, no matter how many times we soak each other up. The porcelain was never excluded from our touch. Showerhead rains would explain, and all I have is this pain and memory. It's the same, and it's hurting. I didn't mean to lose you, or your trust, or your sex was enough, when your love was enough, when you were all that I needed, and I can see that the left looked at ease of me sliding up in another to please my ego, letting my hand would speak as I enter her. And once you knew and let go, I meant everything to you, and I need to grow up. Don't let this end abrupt. I know you don't believe me, when I told you I'll do better, be better. I think of potting while I drink, days in the haze, ascertaining all the good that you meant to me. I'm lost without you, and I'm nearly stuck with me. Oh.
Yeah. Well, you know, Tamia is like my favorite female artist. Well, she's one, and Alicia Keys is two. So, you know, I'm feeling that song. I'm really feeling that song, man. I'm feeling a piece matching with the song. Hey, but you already know how you do. Man, this is Mojave. Y'all know how great he is, man. That was a dope piece, bro. Dope musically accomplishment. You guy, you got the women losing their minds. It's okay. Beautiful piece, though, bro. Yeah, man. Women losing their minds behind a piece like that, man.
I try. That was for a second.
Now, dope, man. It was really, really dope, and I appreciate it. And I'm sure the Let's Talk About It ladies feeling it too.
Don't be surprised if your inbox stay lit tonight, sir. Lit.
Nah, that don't happen. Anyway.
Hey, listen, yeah, sure. We'll go with that. We'll go with that. But before I get you over to the VIP lounge, hey, man, listen, can you let people know what's popping off Tuesday night if you've decided yet? I let everybody know throughout the week that you haven't decided. So if you've decided, but
I
let everybody know.
I still haven't decided. I have no clue. I have no clue at this point. I mean, I probably could do a special, but I don't know. I don't know if it's cool. I'll work it out. The weird thing is that everything from September until October is planned out. That's the weirdest thing. Like, everything else is planned out. I'm like, September and October, planned out completely, top to bottom. Hey,
nice.
This is what we're doing.
Nice.
So what to do next Tuesday? I don't know.
I don't know.
You got no commercial? No commercial. No music?
None.
No music. Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
I'm like struggling.
I can tell y'all this. Make sure y'all tune in next Tuesday. I mean, hey, there's bound to be a show.
That's true. I usually do something goofy. I don't know. Let's see if we can do maybe a hybrid show. That would be fun. That might be fun. Combine two shows and
That sounds like fun.
I mean, all
it'd be crazy to have Honey Drip. Drippers and War Council all in one. Oh, God.
Yeah, that would be nuts. Yeah, so you're discussing relationships while making love with your words. And sounds like you just came in my ear. That's nice. Do it.
Yeah, do it.
You're gonna wish
do it.
Funny.
Do it. Do it. Nah, do it, Johnny. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it.
Yeah. Well, shout out to this next class of drippers, FD22 Drip U. That's their nickname. So yeah, the newest one coming through.
Okay.
Drip U. You know, DU, do
nice.
You. Let me stop. I was like, they're gonna have all kinds of stuff. They just acting extra lit already. I'm just like, I said, hey y'all, this is the first week y'all just starting to meet up already. We just we're gonna meet up. I was like, when did this start happening? What?
Dang, already.
Damn, yeah. Yeah, but
right.
It's funny. Professors and assignments and things.
Gotcha.
A little bit different. It was like y'all asking for a lot. I said, no, everybody get a chance to be a trip. Stop playing with us. You got to do this work. But it's working out. It's good.
That's what's up.
Fun stuff. Yeah. We trying, man. You know, can't everybody wear the everybody can't wear the badge, bro. You know that.
I know that.
Everybody don't wear the badge. They can't be out here doing the poetic. It's fine up with calligraphy. Green Eye Bandit.
What you talk about, Willis?
Green Eye Bandit. Make pies and eat them. Let me go over there and bake your pie. Oh, and I will bake your pie and eat it.
And eat it. Yeah. Peach, cobbler, cherry, apple.
I ain't saying it. But, matter of fact, when Hostess used to have the whole pies that was made by, the Hostess fruit pies that was made by, that had Charlie Brown on it, and then it went to the superheroes?
I
swear right now, I'm telling you, they had the peach pie. Peach and lemon.
Hey, but I'm gonna tell you what I used to go nuts for. They don't even make them no more. But I used to go nuts. Yo, Tasty Cake used to have this French apple pie, bruh. Used to go nuts.
Listen,
that was my favorite pie in the whole world. That French apple pie made by Tasty Cakes, little white box. Oh man.
You
I'm gaining 5 pounds just thinking about it.
Man, listen, you can't be talking the language of the fat boy and not expect me to participate because, I used to get on them Tasty Cake crumpets, the little...
Yes, God.
Ooh.
Yes, God.
I'd be like, I
I would eat those. I'm gonna tell you my other ones. My other guilty pleasures. Boy, them goddamn chocolate juniors. Oh God, my God.
I'm gonna see if I can find me some
tasty cake apple pies, French apple pies. If y'all find them, y'all let me know. Just let me know.
Y'all find
them.
Cause I don't think
they make
them no more. Pies. Give me the Hostess. You know, find the lemon, the peach, the cherry, the blueberry. You know what I'm saying? Get any of those, let me know. No.
Stop playing. Amazon got them.
Listen, stop playing like this. I'll get over there and it'd be over. In fact, like, I'm mad at Amazon right
now. This is so wrong right now. Amazon got them. This is so wrong right now. I did not need to see that. I'm about to be in a diabetic coma, y'all. I'm going to tell y'all right now. Right now.
Look, I've been on some ice cold mango Pepsi. That's the problem, bro. It's a problem.
Yeah, they're a problem. They are.
I was just like, man, listen, I don't know what this is. And then Metaphoria comes through and be like, yeah, you found this flavor yet? I'm like, God damn it, I ain't found that flavor. And now
just don't get the purple one. Don't get the purple one.
I don't even know what the purple one is, man.
Yeah, the purple one tastes like cough syrup.
Nah, we don't do that.
They say Walmart sell them. Man, y'all is lying. You lying. I'll be in Walmart tomorrow. You're lying.
I guess you won't be in Walmart tomorrow.
No. It say not available at my store. Nope. So I'm not going to be in Walmart tomorrow. But I'm going to order them, have them delivered, though. Sure is. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm mad right now. You know what's real crazy? Like, you ever see the prom? Like, you see the prom, right? So, So the weird thing is, right, in certain places, you would figure I'm out on the island. You can find some prawn, right? There's only one place I've seen prawn. It's like 45 minutes from me. But, you know, and they literally will charge you like $15 per each one. But them joints is like the half size of your arm. It's crazy. I was thinking, yo, I'm gonna see if they have any prawn around here. Like, yo, you got a prawn? They'd be like, no, we don't care.
Yeah.
I was like, so you mean I gotta drive 45 minutes over here if they have it? And I called and they were like, nah, we ain't got it. I was like, He was like, yeah, we sold out. He was like, we sold out this morning. He was like, we didn't even get past 10 o'clock. And they opened at 8.
Right.
So.
Right.
That was it.
But all right, bro. I'm gonna get you on over. I'm gonna get you over to the lounge, bro. The VIP lounge. Gotta get you some of that champagne, cause I'm trying to get me some before it get going. I got a call from the back. They was letting me know they only got like 3-4 cases left, and I'm like, come on, bro. I ordered enough cases. You know, Danielle and the security team working on that fourth bottle. I'm like, really? This what we doing?
I don't know how you do it, man. Champagne is not the drink for me, brother. I can't. For some strange reason, it just don't be working with me. I try.
Good, though, bro. It's so good.
I'm like.
But all right, bro.
But, you know, I'll drink some pink champagne, though.
Pink? Nope. It's not pink champagne. You got to call it what Fran Sanford called it. Champipple. You got to get that champipple. Ooh. Why are you wrong for that? You was wrong for that because I used to drink.
I used to drink that when I was a kid.
Hey, y'all, I was low-key drinking all the alcohol. Dang, hearing this, it was a problem. I was low-key drinking all the alcohol. My dad's beer, my mama's Long Island iced tea, my grandmother's scotch and water, my other grandmother's pink champagne. Oh, my God. I had a problem at a young age.
As long as you know that you had a problem, you got past it. But wouldn't it be crazy if we was to find all the drinks, if we went and we found all the drinks from our respective childhoods and brought it into a color party? Like, you know, somebody find Sailor Canadian, somebody's wearing the pink champagne, the MB 2020, you know, Boone's Farm.
whatever. Yeah. That,
oh my God! Boone's Farm got me sick one time. I was throwing up. I wasn't drunk. I was just throwing it up. My brother was like, "Boy, you can't hold you." I said, "Bro, this stuff nasty." He was like, "Oh, cause you bougie, huh? Cause you bougie, huh?"
Yeah. As long as nobody brings no Steel Reserve, the black Canadian Leaf.
Get a 40. Look. Have you get a 40 of St. Ives. Get a 40 of St. Ives.
No, absolutely not. Hell no. Have it for, bring that ball liquor.
Bring that ball liquor.
Hey,
bro. Hey, bro. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is my hobby, Mr. Tuesday Night, a.k.a. Iron Man. Ladies and gentlemen, join Epiphany Radio tomorrow night for the Inspiration Factory. The show will be starting at 8 instead of 9 because of Youth Poetry Sunday. Monday night is King The Soul Cafe with your host, For Real, the poet Douglas, La Pearl, La Negra, and yours truly, Poetic. I hope you are ready, so that we can get some pick up your pen. Tuesday night, Mahavi's unsure what he's doing just yet. Maybe a hybrid show, but just tune in. Wednesday night, the Erotic Love Zone, Miss VIP and La Pearl, La Negra. Thursday night, y'all, the Get Down, J. Rob, the Wise Son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night, y'all, Iron Sharpens Iron with Anonymity. Saturday night's going to be Poetic Therapy with the Pearl La Negra. So, there you have it, the lineup for the week. And, of course, I will be on Clubhouse tomorrow night at 7 p.m., Small House of Poetry. Just Jay and the crew, tune in. Should be a good time, fun time. Looking forward to it. 7 p.m. Eastern. So, want to say thank y'all for hanging out with me for these 3 hours, bearing your souls, and just really just opening up, you know, because I feel like these are some conversations that we need to have as people and be able to laugh and enjoy yourselves while we're having a conversation, though sometimes it may seem difficult. And I want to let you know that without you, there is no Epiphany Radio. We need y'all. You know, I need y'all. Listen, this has been one of the best 3 hours of my day. Let me just tell you. So I thank you and I appreciate you and we love you. Epiphany Radio loves you. So, one love, one mic, and remember, take your socks off. Baby, baby, peace.